Please join me in prayer. Amen. As I mentioned last week, I always have a bit of a come down after Christmas, all those holidays, even starting back with Reformation Sunday, when I perhaps care about a little more than most of you, but we go on to All Saints Day and Advent, the four Sundays of Advent, Christmas Eve, the 12 days of that holiday, and ending with Epiphany. Afterwards, we return to what is charitably called ordinary time. You might as well call it the letdown time. But not for too long, though, of course, because soon we have a whole new series of special days coming in. Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday are right around the corner, and of course it begins with Lent and Ash Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday. Time to start getting ready for that. And I have to say, Lent always looms kind of large in my personal spiritual calendar. Just when it seems winter can't get any dingier or any longer, I get challenged to do something hard, to take on something more, or to give up something that I've come to rather rely on, whatever it is that year. Lent would be easier if it started May 15th or June 2nd. There is a consolation that the days are beginning to get longer. We're starting to notice it. But really, winter and now Lent? More discomfort? I mean, the purpose of Lent is not to suffer. Self-denial for its own sake has never been a great spiritual practice. Self-flagellation and self-punishment, all those horrible stories you hear about the medieval monks in their cells, they were never good spiritual practices. But we are asked during the season of Lent to take seriously the question, what can I do during this season to break up some of the patterns that have crusted around my spiritual journey, to clear the decks of the habits that distract me, maybe even the ones I hide behind, the static and the fuzz that obscure my feeling of the presence of God in my life? Is there a six-week practice that I might be able to take on to kind of get refocused and recentered? What can I do for the next 6 weeks to clear a little more space for God in my life? So even though no self-flagellation is required, it will be uncomfortable. Changing habits is always a little bit uncomfortable, sometimes more than a little. I like my cozy distractions. I grow fond of that warm fuzz that protects me from some of the deeper questions of life at the darkest and the coldest season of the year. It's rough sometimes, especially as when you're still in the February part, not quite to the April part yet. And of course, there are other holidays too that we can keep focused on. There's Memorial Day. I was taught that it's important to preach the secular holidays. Memorial Day, great time to talk about memory and gratitude and the cost of war. Or Labor Day, a great time to talk about the value of work and the human dignity of living into that to which God has called us in life. And of course, there are closer holidays. Valentine's Day is around the corner, St. Patrick's Day. There's a spiritual use to which all of those can be put. And sometimes that's easier than Lent to think about. And of course, then there's today, our most informal holiday, but one that is really widely celebrated. I'm referring, of course, to that great and holy practice of Super Bowl Sunday, the secular spectacular. And it's true, the number of people who are focused on this game this afternoon is astounding. I looked it up. They're expecting more than 110 million people to watch this one football game. That's like a third of the population in the United States. And I don't want to quite know the answer to this question, but I wonder, were there 110 million people in church at Christmas this past year? The money that is spent on this game, this cultural orgy of pop stars and advertising and chicken wings, 2 weeks of hype or 6 or 8 or 10 hours of television all around 1 hour of football game. And I'm not saying any of this to criticize it. I want to find the spiritual meaning of this holiday for us. There is a lot there to criticize, but heaven help me, I like football. And I'll watch the game, and I'll watch the halftime show, and I'll probably watch some of those commercials, and there may even be a chicken wing or two involved. But what do we want to say is the spirituality of the Super Bowl? Some churches do what they call Super Bowl Sunday, S-O-U. P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday, as a time to have a community event and share a simple meal and maybe raise some money for a good cause. And Super Bowl Sunday is a great opportunity to criticize our American fascination with commercialism, with tribalistic competitiveness, with violence. But like I said, I don't want to do any of those things this year. I want to see if we can say something positive about this very peculiar holiday. But what will I say? Well, as you recall from last week, Jesus is in Galilee during this stretch of the gospel, healing and teaching. Last week, we talked about the first miracle Jesus performs in the Gospel of Mark, casting out that demon with authority. And today's text goes on to tell, right continuously from that stopping place, Jesus goes home with Simon and Andrew. He heals Simon's mother-in-law, and the people all in the neighborhood hear that he's there, and so they bring all of their sick and all of their demon-possessed to see them, and he heals all of them too, all night long, it seems, working long into the night. And then finally, in the dark hours right before dawn, he does something very unexpected. He leaves. He gets up by himself and walks out. And it says in the scripture, in the morning while it was very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. He goes to a deserted place and he prays. For those of you with a high vision of Jesus, this might be puzzling. He's already perfect. He's already 100% in communion with God every moment. Why does he need to set aside time to pray? Well, maybe he does that as an example for us, you might say. I myself have a more earthly vision of Jesus. He's fully human as well as fully divine. And he too needs to rest. He too needs to recharge. He too needs to keep honing his craft. And after an exhausting day of helping others, he was doing something good and loving, but he was doing it all day long. He too maybe needed to refocus and to find his own center and to reconnect with God. This happens over and over again in Mark's gospel. Jesus goes off to pray. He starts his ministry with 40 days in the wilderness, the very thing we will be observing when we celebrate Lent. He disappears, he goes off alone to pray for 40 days, and then he comes back, and he does it again and again. And I think we know why, right? Because God is the source of Jesus' power, and he needs to commune with God. And on Super Bowl Sunday, maybe we could say it like this: Jesus needs to keep up his training. I know that's a little corny, but bear with me. The reason I like football so much is because what these athletes do is absolutely amazing. Some of them specialize in Herculean feats of strength, and others in blazing speed, and others in amazing finesse. And it's all done with forethought, with planning, with preparation and practice, and with precision. They all 22 of them, do the most amazing things on every single play. I can't even invite people over to watch football with me. Part of it is because I get so into the game, but part of it is because every play where I don't figure out what they're doing, I miss what the trick was or what the special gimmick was or what the act of incredible skill was, I'll rewind it and watch it again. I can watch, you know, it can take me 2 hours to watch a single quarter. It takes me forever to get through a football game because the strength and the skill of the players is so amazing to me. And the endless practice that it takes, the product of the study and the preparation that it represents, the hours they spend in weight rooms and in classrooms and on practice fields. And maybe that's what Jesus is doing. Having exerted himself so much in healing those people, he had to keep up his training, he had to keep working on his skills. On the cover of your bulletin, you see a picture of a weight room. It's not a metaphor for the spiritual life I invented. Paul talks about it in his letters about being a spiritual person, a follower of Jesus, is like being an athlete, and you have to train and prepare to run the race that is set before you. And I've always been attracted to that metaphor for the spiritual life. And then you see underneath that quote. That quote was posted at one time, at least, in the weight room of the University of Michigan football team. And the quote says, "In a time of crisis, you will not rise to the occasion, but rather you will default to your level of training." You think about that. That's a hard word. And it's a little bit heroic in a way that might be dangerous. I'm not sure that it's always true, but I think a lot of times it is. When life brings us sorrows and griefs and disasters, is my spirituality well enough honed and trained and flexible enough and strong enough to get me through? Or is my spirituality out of practice? We need to pray every day because God loves us every day. But we also need to pray every day so that when that crisis comes, we are ready. When our spiritual power is required of us to love the wounded, to resist wickedness, to cast out demons, or simply just to survive, will it be there? That reservoir of strength, of endless strength, will we be connected to it? And maybe that's a way we can think about Lent. As a time of spiritual training, so that our faith becomes stronger and faster and more skillful, so that we are prepared for every day and for the time of crisis. So every year, a couple of weeks before Ash Wednesday, I start wondering, what's going to be my spiritual discipline this year? What's getting in the way of my spirituality this year? What do I need to take a break from this year or add on this year to try to fill in some of my gaps and get some of those stiff places a little more worked out? And I'm inviting you all to join me in wondering, is there some place that God is waiting to meet you over the next couple of months, if only you had the stamina to walk to that place? Is there a door behind which God is waiting for you, if only you can figure out how to open it? What is the noise and the fuzz that is insulating you from God's call in your life right now? And is that something you'd like to confront? A 6-week experiment, maybe, in paying better attention. That's what Lent is often seen as. A 6-week journey to see if you can get closer to God. Maybe for us it could be a 6-week training camp to prepare for another year of striving for resurrection in this world. And there's one other thing. It says, after Jesus prayed a while, the disciples track him down, and Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." This translation obscures the anxiety in Simon's words. Sam got it right. What they said is almost like an accusation. Everyone is searching for you. Where have you been? It's easy to dismiss Peter, especially in the Gospel of Mark, as the guy who never gets it. But maybe he's got a point here. Because one of the reasons I like football so much is because it's the ultimate team sport. Every single play depends on all 11 guys doing exactly the right thing in exactly the right moment. Peter says, maybe you, Jesus, are fully prepared, but we're not. We need you to help train us. We need to do this together. That gym is a lonely place, and no place, no gym is more lonely than the spiritual gym of personal spiritual training. And it's always better to train when you have a workout buddy, when you have a team, when you have companionship, when you have accountability, when you have support. Like I said, maybe it's a little corny, but church, maybe this year we're going to be able to consider whether Lent is something we need to do together to support each other. We're producing a Lent book that we'll have available for you next Sunday. Every day has a suggestion of something you can do. Some of the days they're art projects. Some of the days they're reading. Some of the days they're devotional prayers. Every week there's a suggestion of what we're calling an act of generosity, something you can do to make someone else's life a little better that week or to deepen your connection with someone else. We'll be passing them out, and I'm very excited about it. I'm looking forward to working my own way through it. But what a wonderful thing this could be if we could do it together as a church, and maybe we spend some time in the little coffee hour coffee clutches and Wednesday night at Jerry's and Sunday school classes, just checking in. Hey, how's your Lent going? How's your training going? Can you feel God moving more freely in your life? Maybe this Lent we can agree. Let's get in shape together. Amen.